boy in the Porsche has taken my spot again. Fuck boy, another term Pip immediately regretted teaching him. The only free spaces were down at the far end near the chain-link fence where the cameras didn't reach. Howie Bowers' old stomping ground. Money in one pocket, small paper bags in the other. And before Pip could help herself, the unclicking of her seatbelt became the tapping of Stanley Forbes' shoes on the concrete behind her. It was night now, Howie not in prison, but right there under the orange glow, downward shadows for eyes. Stanley reaches him, trading a handful of money for his life, for his secret. And as he turns to face Pip, dead-eyed, six holes split open inside him, spilling gore down his shirt and onto the concrete, and somehow it's on her hands. It's all over her hands, and
coming, Pickle.
Her dad was holding the door open for her. Coming, she replied, wiping her hands against her smartest pants. The train into Grand Central was packed, and she stood shoulder to shoulder with other passengers, awkward closed-mouth smiles, substituting sorries as they bumped into one another. There were too many hands on the metal pole, so Pip was holding onto her dad's bent arm instead to keep her steady. If only it had worked. She saw Charlie Green twice on the train, the first time in the back of a man's head before he shifted to better read his newspaper. The second time, he was a man waiting on the platform, cradling a gun. But as he boarded their car, his face rearranged, lost all its resemblance to Charlie, and the gun was just an umbrella. It had been 3 months, and the police still hadn't found him. His wife, Flora, had turned herself into a police station in Duluth, Minnesota, 4 weeks ago. They had somehow gotten separated while on the run. She didn't know where her husband was, but the rumors circulating online were that he'd managed to make it across the border to Canada. Pip looked out for him anyway, not because she wanted him caught, but because she needed him found. And that difference was everything. Why things could never go back to normal again. Her dad caught her eye.
You nervous about the meeting?
He asked over the screeching of the train's wheels as it slowed into Grand Central.
It will be fine. Just listen to Roger, okay? He's an excellent lawyer. Knows what he's talking about.
Roger Turner was an attorney at her dad's firm who was the best at defamation cases, apparently. They found him a few minutes later, waiting outside the old red brick conference center where the meeting room was booked.
Hello again, Pip,
Roger said, holding out his hand to her. Pip quickly checked her hand for blood before shaking his.
Nice weekend, Victor.
It was, thank you, Roger. And I have leftovers for lunch today, so it's going to be an excellent Monday, too.
I suppose we better head in then, if you're ready.
Roger asked Pip, checking his watch, his other hand gripping a shining briefcase. Pip nodded. Her hands felt wet again, but it was sweat. It was only sweat.
You'll be fine, darling, her dad told her, straightening out her collar. Yes, I've done thousands of mediations.
Roger grinned, swiping back his gray hair.
No need to worry.
Call me when it's done,
Pip's dad leaned down to bury a kiss in the top of her hair.
I'll see you at home tonight. Roger, I'll see you in the office later.
Yes, see you, Victor.
After you, Pip.
They were in meeting room 4E on the top floor. Pip asked to take the stairs because if her heart was hammering for that reason, it wasn't hammering for any other reason. That's how she rationalized it, why she now went running anytime she felt her chest tighten. Run until there was a different kind of hurt. They reached the top, old Roger puffing several steps behind her. A smartly dressed man stood in the corridor outside 4E, smiling when he saw them.
Ah, you must be Pippa Fitzamobi, he said.
Another outstretched hand, another quick blood check.
And you, her counsel, Roger Turner. I'm Hassan Bashir, and for today I am your independent mediator.
He smiled, pushing his glasses up his thin nose. He looked kind, and so eager he was almost bouncing.